This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So today, inshallah, we're continuing the part three of the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, and we're learning the lessons from it. It's not just a mere story, we learn the message that Allah gives us from these stories. So now we continue from where we left off last week. The king had seen a dream, we all know that story, and the ex-prisoner remembered Yusuf alayhi salam. So he goes and tells him about the dream. Yusuf alayhi salam not only interprets the dream, but he also gives a solution to the problem that is going to face Egypt. To recap, it's important for us to remember what this problem was. The dream was saying that Egypt is about to go through 7 years of abundant agricultural growth. There's going to be lots of crops, lots of wheat, lots of everything, because there's going to be a lot of rain. And that's how it survived. And then after the 7 years, they're going to be 7 years dry, and they're going to destroy what is equal to 7 years of growth for another 7 years, where people will struggle in their life. Crops won't grow, people won't have food, their survival is going to be in danger. And then there will be one more year, the 15th year, in which people will be able to press and extract from their grains and their wheat, oil and other things which they can use in the long term. Which shows us that it's going to be a year in which things will go back to normal again. After that year, normal again. What's important to us are the first 7 years, are the second 7 years of drought. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then talks with the rest of the story on the 7 years afterwards. But before that happens, let's see what happened to Yusuf alayhi salam. Last week we said that when the king heard the interpretation and the solution that Yusuf alayhi salam gave, and this is why we say, when we tell the stories of the prophets, when Allah tells us their stories, there are people who merely just take a story for entertainment, like watching a movie that has no real significance, and then walks away. That was entertaining. It is impossible for Allah to send the book down from above seven heavens just to tell you a tale or a story. But let me remind you that everything in the Quran has a message. It has a profound message, a moral and ethical code of life. Moral, right and wrong. What you are here for. Where are you going after here? Why did Allah make everything? Why is all this here for us? What are the signs that He left for us? How is He telling us that He is with us, and what should we be doing towards Him, and what does He do for us? How should we think in life? How do we connect with Him? And secondly, the Quran is not just a book that tells you how things work. It's not a scientific book. Science helps you understand life, like the way the universe works. But it doesn't teach you morals and ethics. For example, in science, just a very quick lesson. Who studies science here? Who goes to your school here? Who goes to school? Who goes to high school? So you guys would know what I'm talking about. You study a bit of science. Who goes to university? Go to university. Who works in the field of something academic other than trade? In trade, you also have logic. But when you learn about science, you'll understand that they try to separate religion from science. First of all, we have a problem. Islam In English, we say religion because it's how everyone now says it. But religion is not really the word we use in Arabic. The word deen does not mean religion. Religion, the word religion was made up, the secular world, it sort of came from there. It didn't come from the Arab world or the Islamic world, the word religion. It didn't even exist before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They never used to say religion, even Christians and Jews never used to say religion. A religion was brought up to separate you from secular and religion, to make you feel like religion is one thing and the rest of the world is another. You go to school, an Islamic school, you have religious studies and everything else. It's like the two separate worlds. No. Mark my words, Islam is all of it together. It's integrated with our life. So when it talks about the sun and the moon, it's integrated with science and its methods. In science, you experiment to find out if what you thought was right or wrong, yeah? And you challenge it. The Quran tells you, put it to the challenge. Put it through this, what you call the scientific method, if you like. And see if you can prove it wrong. And the Quran has only ever done that. Surah Yusuf is actually one of those experiments which his people, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's people, tested him with. Did you know that? For them, if I brought Quraysh, the people of the Prophet ﷺ, to here, to our time, and they learned all this knowledge and they became modern, right, 1,400 years later, you can say that they gave the Prophet ﷺ a scientific test. They experimented to see if he is really a prophet of Allah or not. Is he really a messenger from God, as he claims? So remember when we said in the part one of the story of Yusuf, the Quraysh people came to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to put a difficult challenge to him, to disprove that he's the messenger of God. What did they do? They went to the Jews and they asked them for a question that they can ask Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who's from Arabia, something that they know he will not know the answer to, impossible for him to know the answer to, something that only the Israelites knew. You've got to take yourself 1,400 years ago to see the dynamics. It's not like today, we have social media and everything is at the tip of your hands. It's impossible for the Prophet ﷺ to know the information about the Jews while living in Mecca and never interacting with them. And they came to him and said, ask him why the Israelites went to Egypt. The Israelites were originally in Palestine. Why did they go to Egypt? How did the Israelites end up in Egypt? Now the Prophet ﷺ didn't even know that the Israelites had ended up in Egypt in the first place. So what is this story? And he recited the entire Surah Yusuf to them. The Surah Yusuf came with information that the Jews knew and new information they didn't know, which makes sense when you read the whole story. It makes more sense. It fits in better. And it corrected some information which they were confused about. Did three things. Brought information that only the Jews knew. Brought new information that they didn't know, which fit perfectly with the story. And corrected some information they had that didn't fit with the story, and the Quran brought the proper information. And that outwitted everyone. But when somebody doesn't want to know the truth, doesn't want to follow it, they're just full of arrogance, they'll bring you another test and another test. And they know that you're right, but they don't want you to be right. Because they've got some desires, they want to live a different life. We're going to come to the end verses, last page of Surah Yusuf, where Allah just gives you a brief lesson of the whole story in what I just said. He gives you the point, and it's so marvelous. So Yusuf alayhi salam gives the solution to the dream as well. He knows what it means. This is where the wisdom comes. And the king loves his answer. The king thinks this guy is an intelligent, marvelous person who has knowledge that even his viziers and his most elite of intelligent people could not answer. And it made so much sense. Not only did it make sense, he said this guy can solve the problems of Egypt. So he sends one of his men, one of the men of the kingdom, to Yusuf alayhi salam, Why did he send the man of the kingdom? To honor Yusuf alayhi salam. You know, when you're going to be honored, you send someone important from the government. The Pharaoh sent someone important from his government. He says, the king wants to see you. And what did Yusuf alayhi salam reply? He says, I'm not getting out of prison. He says, why? He says, go back to the king and ask him to open the case, reopen the case of the women. My original master, he knows well my case. He knows I'm innocent. Why did Yusuf alayhi salam refuse to get out of prison until his innocence is proven? Well, Yusuf alayhi salam, two things. Allah wanted to show the world that Yusuf alayhi salam is not only an intelligent man who can solve things, but he's also a trustworthy man with amazing morals, with an amazing value beyond other people, which usually people hire you for. They hire you for your attitude and character. Are you honest? Are you trustworthy? Are you intelligent? Not just the qualifications. So Yusuf alayhi salam was qualified to know, but he also had the integrity, the morals, the ethics, the values, the character, the attitude to make him a king, right? And secondly, Allah wants to put Yusuf alayhi salam in a very high position. Because if he had come out the first time to go to the king, the first time, just like that, the king was going to give him an award, a reward, and make him a special man to the government. And that's it. And then he goes, maybe gives him a bit of money, a nice housing, lives his life, people respect him, that's it. But Allah wants to bring out from this whole test that Yusuf has gone from, this whole thing that has happened to Yusuf, all this struggle and all this pain. Someone would think that, why is God doing this to him? It's bad. But Allah says, you may hate something when it's good for you, and you may love something when it's bad for you. And Allah knows and you do not know. So don't ever give up on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You might go through a little bit of time of hardship, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about a relief. Allah has a bigger plan for Yusuf alayhi salam. And today we have Muslims around the world who are suffering all the time. At the present moment, Kashmir, still in Palestine, which is ongoing as well, and everywhere else around the world, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieve them. But this is all just a temporary moment, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be with our brothers and sisters in Kashmir at the moment and everywhere around the world. May Allah relieve them from their hardships. Say Ameen. Muslims persecuted everywhere, but the relief is coming soon. Just hold on to your values. Hold on to your deen and know that we are for each other like one body. Don't leave each other. If we do, then we'll stay lost forever. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Yusuf alayhi salam, then the king, what does he do? He brings the women while Yusuf is in the prison. And the women gather. The women who did what? The ones who, remember, they cut their hands when they looked at him. And the one who plotted this whole thing. That elite person's wife. The master, his master, who seduced him. The king brings them. And it's as if a little court had been happening in the absence of Yusuf alayhi salam. And the king investigated it once again. Allah says, the king said to the women, مَا خَطْبُكُنْ, you who cut your hands, we know about your story. What's the issue? Bring it back. This was like, what, 10 years ago? What happened? And they all said, he is an innocent man. We do not know anything bad about him. You understand? مَا عَلِمْنَا عَلَيْهِ مِنْ سُوءٍ, we don't know anything bad about him. Oh my God, that's the whole women who she brought to help her now have thrown her under the bus. So then he calls the Aziz's wife, the treasurer or the minister's wife. And she says, الْآنَ حَصْحَصَ الْحَقِّ, now the truth is clear. أَنَا رَاوَدْتُهُ عَنْ نَفْسِي, I am the one who seduced him. وَإِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ, he is among the most honest and truthful. Wow. Hey guys, this is the king hearing from not just normal people, he's hearing from the elites. The people whom his government relies on, his own people, are saying he's an honest man. So what's in store for him is with Allah something enormous. He's going to be a leader. He's going to be like a king soon. And she admits that her nafs was weak and that she listened to her nafs. What is a sin, my dear brothers and sisters? The Prophet ﷺ told us, hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, and you'll find it in the book of 40 hadiths of Imam al-Nawawi. Prophet ﷺ said, what is a sin? Al-ithm, sin. Ma haka fi nafs wa karihta an yattali'a alayhi nas. It is what scratches at your inner conscience. You feel guilty about it. You know it's wrong. But you don't want to admit it. And you don't want people to know that your conscience is scratching at you. You've got guilt about it. A lot of people are like that today. And actually this generation that we live in is more like that. Hypocrisy is as much as the salt grains in the ocean these days. The two-faced style. With that defense system, don't judge me. Don't judge me. Yet Islam doesn't say to judge the hearts. But everybody, the people now have grabbed this word as a weapon or a tool to continue to do immoral things. It's like a way out, like what children do. No, don't judge me, because you want to do what you want. You want to continue in your immoral act. It's like a person murdering someone. I'm killing someone. You're not allowed to judge me. You don't know what I've been through to kill this guy. And then suddenly I'm a victim. Put myself in such a... And then suddenly I'm the victim. So let's not go into that terrible attitude. Right is right, wrong is wrong. And we judge just openly on what the actions are. We don't judge the person, we judge the action. The action is right or the action is wrong. So she says, my nafs was the one that told me, the one inner conscience. And I hid it all. She hid it to the point where she made Yusuf Aleyhi Salaam into prison and get punished, and people were being and get tortured for no reason. And now she says, he is honest. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. I'm not innocent. So she admitted. Because you know why? The context of the verses are telling us that she was going through a self-torture all these years. And so were the women. They couldn't live with this guilt. The moment you accept your wrong and you own your mistakes is the moment you will be freed from them. But so long as you know the truth and you reject it deliberately, it is the worst life you can have. And I dare to say it is the major cause of people going on intoxications, drugs, and some of them even suicide, because they lose their identity and they can't bear who they are sometimes. And then they get lost and can't find themselves. But Allah says, just open your heart. Just come to me. Run to me. Allah says in the Quran, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Run away to Allah. When do you use the term run away? When something is harming you, you run away from it. So Allah is telling you, run away. Because everything other than Allah will harm you. And what does he say? Run to Allah. Run to Allah by starting to change your life, to become a type of person who listens to what Allah has to say, how you should live your life, to the best of your ability. Not just Salat and Quran. No, no, Islam is a whole life. Deen means lifestyle, way of life. In your business, in your trade, in your school, in your work, in your home. Even when you go to the toilet. Even when you go to the toilet, there's a way. You enter with your left foot. It's better not to talk in the toilet. Right? You come out with your right foot. You say some words. You remember Allah. When you eat. All of that. Lifestyle. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, she then says, so that my husband or my man doesn't think that I betrayed him. So apparently, her husband always thought that she cheated on him. And she sensed that from him all these years. So she said, I'm saying it now so he knows that I didn't cheat on him. That was also another guilt that she put herself in. Always remember, brothers and sisters, if you do wrong, it's always going to haunt you until you fix it. Or you do something about it, or you admit it, or you own it. My brothers and sisters in Islam, and so Yusuf alayhi salam was freed. Not only with honor, not only just now being innocent, but rather now he, Allah, changed what he was into the complete opposite. The highest of the high, materialistically, meaning to the world, and religiously, or in his character and his virtue, an honest, integral, trustworthy, intelligent, knowledgeable, wise, strong man. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then changed his position. Because Yusuf alayhi salam was very patient. You know when he was told to get out and he says, no, until my innocence is proven. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comments on that. He says, Rahim Allahu akhi Yusuf. May Allah have mercy on my brother Yusuf. Wallahi, how patient was he? Ma asbarahu. How patient is he? Me? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam admits. He says, I admit, if I was in his place and I went through all of this, I would have gone out the prison without hesitation. Just like that, bang, out here, I'm getting out. I will not say what he says. Muhammad himself says that Yusuf did something amazing. He admits that if I was in his place, I would have just gone out. I wouldn't sit there saying, prove my innocence. But obviously, every prophet and every messenger is placed in the position that they are meant to be in. And the proper place for Yusuf is here. And the way that Allah is going to raise him and lift him is there. Muhammad is a different story, different people. So Allah then takes Yusuf out of the prison. He goes to the king, and the king says to him, you are ladayna makinun amin. You will be with us in a strong station, strong position, and you will be protected, and don't worry, you are honored. And then Yusuf alayhi salam says to him something interesting. He says, ij'alni ala khazainil ard. Make me in charge of the treasures of the land. Make me in charge of everything. Of the economy of the land, the finance, the crops, the lands, everything. Inni hafidhun alim. I am trustworthy. I am able to run this entire country and not waste any of its resources. I will be able to preserve it. And I'm able to sustain it. Sustainability, I'm the master of it. I am an expert in sustainability, and you can trust me on that. Alim, and I'm very knowledgeable. I can do it. Now you might be questioning, isn't it bad for a person to ask for a high position, like a king's position? That's not good of a Muslim, but should humble themselves, right? Especially that the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever asks for leadership, don't give it to him. Because it's like they're after leadership or power position. But in this situation, it was the most noble thing and the obligation of Yusuf alayhi salam to do. How? When you know that you have the skill, and you are honest, and you know that no one else is able to do it, really. We're not talking just because you think you're the best. Really, you do have that skill, and you know factually that others don't have it. Then you must know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you something that He wants you to use in the right place. Then you can ask for a position that is high, but make your intentions right. The intention of Yusuf alayhi salam was trustworthiness, and that he had the skill, and obviously he's a prophet of Allah. This was the pathway for him to help people be guided and return them to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had to take it. So he took it. And suddenly Allah says, وَكَذَٰلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And so, everyone, this is how we made Yusuf become. Through the whole story that you just heard, this is how we made Yusuf become the strongest and powerful person in the earth. How did he make him? Through hardships, struggles, patience, resilience, pain, torture, emotional struggle, everything. Don't ever, my dear brothers and sisters, assume that if you go through a hardship, that Allah has left you alone. Be patient and continue And always know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Do not give up from the mercy of Allah and connect with Him. For Allah is always with you and there is a plan. It's only you who destroys yourself. Just with your thoughts. Allah says, get your support. Come to me. Always know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And just by the mere fact that you think like that, you start developing your pathway forward. Everything starts with a thought. You make your pathway go forward. That's why surround yourself with positive people. If your family is with you, that's fine. Keep your connection, but also surround yourself with positive friends. Because the friends that are around you make you think the way you think. If they're negative friends, you're going to be a negative person. Positive friends, you're going to be a positive person. And so on. There's a lot to talk about this. Anyway, Yusuf alayhi salam now sees. He knows the lights at the end of the tunnel and he becomes almost equivalent to the king of the land. Actually, I'll tell you something. The ulama said, all the mufassirin, especially Tabari, he says that he actually became more powerful than the Pharaoh himself. Why? Because the Pharaoh didn't know. He wasn't in charge. He wasn't calculating anything. He gave it completely to Yusuf alayhi salam to control all the wealth of the country. Everything was with him. He can do anything he wants. And no one can be above him. And so Yusuf alayhi salam became that treasurer or that minister of the country. He did exactly what he knew he had to do. The 7 years passed. He kept the wheat inside their ear, of their mother's stem, so that they stay in preserved. And 7 years later, whatever they preserved of the wheat, they started to use in their country, and their country continued to thrive. Wheat and crops. Now, there was poverty everywhere else. In Palestine, in Transjordan, in Syria, those places, whatever they were called that time, all of those places were in poverty. And certain kings around the world, they were exploiting people. They had some wealth, and what they were doing was that they were charging people double, triple, quadruple. Business people as well. They were exploiting people. They were taking advantage of people's poverty and charging them triple, quadruple. All except Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam was fair and just and generous. Everybody found out that there was a king, like a king, a minister, a big man in Egypt, who was selling crops and food, non-cherishable, like long-lasting food, for the same price that they used to be before the drought. So everyone rushed to Egypt. But Yusuf alayhi salam was very smart and talented. He was very wise. He didn't just sell whatever people can afford. He placed a limit. He said, every one person can only get the maximum of a camel load. Not more than that. Why? Because he knows there are evil businessmen who will take advantage of this and buy all the products and then charge the people more. It doesn't just exist today, it's always been the case. And our Islamic Sharia has put in place laws to take care of this so that there is fair trade. It's in our Sharia. Yusuf alayhi salam then invited anyone who comes. And the second condition was, you have to bring, like for each person has to be present in front of him. So if you want to get for your family, each member of the family has to present themselves physically. Because people can lie. There's no documents to prove that you have 10 members of your family those days. There's nothing electronic. So he had to have them present. If you say you've got 10 members of your family, bring all 10 members. Otherwise, I'll only give for every one person a camel load. Now the way they used to buy was not with currency or money. They used to exchange something, any merchandise they had, in exchange for the food. That's how they bought it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now cuts the story short and tells us, okay, so in other words, Yusuf alayhi salam grew up, he was a handsome man, his form had changed, he was made in his mid-30s, and he was now basically speaking, let's just say the king of the land, because he controlled everything. Allah says, وَجَاءَ إِخْوَةُ يُوسُفُ. And now the brothers of Yusuf came. Come back now to the guys who nearly killed him. فَعَرَفَهُمْ. He knew them immediately. وَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ They didn't know him. They didn't recognize him. How can they recognize him? They threw him in the well. He's gone. And secondly, he had grown up now. And thirdly, you'll never imagine that our brother who we threw in the deserts is now the king of Egypt. Come on. So it never, ever, ever, ever crossed their mind that he is the king of Egypt. Ever. Remember, when I say king, I don't mean literally king. The Pharaoh was the king, but he was we'll just call him the minister of finance of the whole country, okay? Minister of Economics and Finance. And so he came in, he knew them, but he did not tell them who he is. Why? He now is going to devise a plan. What is the plan? A noble plan. He wants to bring his whole family to Egypt and give them security and look after them. But he was still afraid. If he told his brothers who he is, remember, they are jealous people, envious. They tried to kill him. If he had told them, they might go and never come back. Or they might lie to him. They might do a lot of things. خلاص. A Muslim, Prophet ﷺ said, لَا يُلْدَغُ الْمُؤْمِنُ مِنْ جُحْرٍ مَرَّتَيْنِ A mu'min does not get stung by the same snake hole or burrow twice. So he had to take his precautions. A Muslim has to take his precautions. We're not just sit there naive and stupid and let people step all over us. No, you take your precautions and you learn. You're not stupid. So Yusuf alayhi salam, he goes, okay. Obviously, he interviewed them. There must have been a great interview, first of all, to make sure that they are honest. He would have asked them, how many members of your family do you have? And they would have told him, we have a father who is very old and we have a brother who is still with him, right? And he would have said to them, okay, well, I'll give to each one of you. Only, I won't give anyone if they're not here. And then Allah says, فَلَمَّا جَهَزَهُمْ وَلَمَّا جَهَزَهُمْ بِجَهَازِهِمْ When he filled their, when he filled their camels with crops and food, he asked them, bring me your brother who is from your father. Don't you see that I'm very generous? And I'm equitable, I'm just. So why don't you bring him for me and I'll give you more. I can't go against my law, you have to have him here. Why didn't he ask about his father though? Because they told him, he's an old man, he can't get out. So he gave them the benefit of the doubt. But he said to them, however, as an insurance, in case you're lying to me, if you don't bring me that brother back, then you will be excluded. You will no longer be allowed to come back and buy food because I will know that you're lying to me. Bring me your brother to prove to me that you are truthful and I'll accept that you have a father who can't come here. So an insurance, you have to prove it to him. You get it? So they said, سَنُرَاوِدُ عَنْهُ أَبَاهُ We will try to convince his dad. Yusuf alayhi salam has got a slight trauma from this. نُرَاوِدُ We will convince his dad. What's he remembering? What they did to him. Convincing their dad. And he's afraid for his brother. He's afraid for his father. So he keeps it a secret and devises the plan and works with it. Very smart. And what he did was he told his viziers, his helpers or whoever they are in the kingdom, to put their merchandise back into their luggage without telling them. And he said, maybe this will encourage them to come back. Because I know they're poor. I know they're not going to have enough to bring back and buy more food. So give them back their merchandise so that when they go there, they'll open it up and they can use it as proof for my father. See, Yaqub, his father, and Yusuf alayhi salam are thinking the same. He knows his father can't be fooled. They can be fooled, but not his father. So he knows how his father's going to think. He says, put their merchandise back. I know they're poor. And in his mind is thinking, because that's the context of the verses, my father won't be fooled. So maybe if they open it up, they can show that they've got their merchandise back. What they spoke about was true, you know, and they can go back and get more. So they left. When they reached their father, Yaqub alayhi salam, they tried to convince him to send with them Binyamin, his other brother. And what did their father say, do you think? Over my dead body, in other words. Never. He said, هَلْ آمَنُكُمْ كَمَا عَلَيْهِ كَمَا آمَنْتُكُمْ عَلَى يُوسُفَ عَلَى أَخِيهِ مِنْ قَبْلِ Am I able to trust you with him? Like the way I trusted you with your brother before? He's not asking them, he already knows. He's just reminding them, he's telling them, no. Remember, in other words, you liars. Do you think take me for a fool? Look what you did to your brother. You think I've forgotten about that? I've lived in misery thinking about this all this life. I've lived in pain and agony all this time. You think I've forgotten just because I don't complain to you? Because who did Yaqub al-Islam always complain to? Allah. So he never showed them. That's a prophet of Allah. And they tried to persuade him over and over again. He wouldn't be convinced. Suddenly they opened their luggage and they found their merchandise. They said, قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا مَا نَبْغِي. Look, we're not lying to you. How could we get all these crops, right? Just for free, right? I mean, look, our merchandise has been returned to us. And we got these crops, we can't get them from anywhere we want. We're telling the truth. This is a just and equitable man. No other king will do this for us. We're telling you, we're telling the truth. Look, here we are, here are our merchandise. We can go back. They want us, and he told us, bring back a brother, and otherwise we'll be excluded. We'll no longer be allowed to go back, father. If we don't bring our brother, we'll be excluded. Look. Now, when Yaqub alayhi salam saw this, as I told you, he's intelligent. He thought, this is not normal. Returning back the merchandise, being just and fair, wanting proof of another brother. Yaqub alayhi salam always knew Allah has a plan. But because he's a human being, yes, we do believe in Allah. We do believe in Allah's qadr. Allah has qadr and we have to rely on Allah. But Allah knows we are also humans with emotions and weaknesses and desires. We forget, we get scared. We sometimes lose ourselves. We get nervous. We get afraid. And that's okay. Just being afraid and nervous and take precaution does not go against your belief in Allah's qadr. It doesn't mean not relying on Allah. So he wants to still take precautions. But now he's got a sense that something's going on divine. He goes, go back, my sons, and take your brother. But I have to take from you an oath. I will not send him with you until you make oath, each and every one of you, by Allah's name, that you will guarantee his return to me. You're going to bring me back Binyamin. Only if they seize you or arrest you. If they arrest you, then you're off the hook. So they all swore by Allah, we will bring him back, except if they arrest us or something went wrong and we don't have any choice. Allah says when they gave him his oath, their oath, Yaqub alayhi salam sent Binyamin with them. And he said to them something strange. He said, Ya Bani, O my children, my sons, because they were all the boys that were going. As we said, he had one sister. But he won't send his sister, he sent the boys for this work. He sent them and he said, don't enter from one door altogether. Enter from separate doors. Doors doesn't mean to the palace, it means to the entrance of Egypt. Apparently there's like fortresses and doors and ways that you can enter through Egypt. He said separate and each one comes through a different avenue, like maybe kilometers apart, like maybe in twos, but not all together. Why? Because in Egypt, Palestine is on its east and it's on its borders. They don't know who's coming in. As far as they know, everybody is desperate. So they've got to watch out who comes in to their borders, like immigration check, visa check. He got afraid that if all of them go in at once, they might mistake them for highway robbers or thieves coming in groups like a gang, especially the time of poverty, they might want to come and steal or do something, right? So Yaqub alayhi salam is taking precautions, which again tells us a Muslim is always takes precautions about things. It's not haphazard. Like even, you know, when you go into a business agreement with another person, let's say a Muslim and another Muslim, you both come to the masjid, you're both amazing people. Allah says, when you do a business deal or you lend money, even between really great Muslims, you must write it down. And you must get two witnesses that you lent. It's not a meaning of distrust, but you have to because the shaitan plays his role. We can forget. So you take precautions. So they did that. They entered through different avenues. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, Yaqub didn't do it because he didn't rely on God. He says it in the Quran. إِلَّا حَاجَةً فِي نَفْسِ يَعْقُوبَ قَضَاهَا. This was a precaution which he had to take because he couldn't fight it. It was something he was struggling with. He can't accept that they go without taking precautions. At the same time, Allah says, وَإِنَّهُ لَذُو عِلْمٍ لِمَا عَلَّمْنَا. At the same time, he is full of knowledge with what we have taught him. What did the scholars say about this? They said, it means that Allah is saying, learn from Yaqub alayhi salam, that reliance on Allah does not mean also taking material precaution. You can't just sit there and say, Allah will look after him without you doing your part. Allah wants you to work. He wants you to do things. He wants you to grow. He wants you to have self-confidence as well. And then he will assist you so that both of you are in a good relationship. Allah's assistance and the blessings that he gave you to assist yourself with. He wants to see you using the stuff he gave you. And that's true nurturing and true connection. Like parents, when they teach you how to drive, they start putting you in the driver's seat, in the driver's seat, and you're in the passenger seat. And you've got to let go a little bit, right? Until they learn by themselves. You've got to let them go out and do certain errands without you always being next to them as they grow older. Why? So they can learn. It doesn't mean not supporting them, but you are nurturing them and letting them learn so they can look after themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us also to use what he taught us to look after ourselves. So relying on Allah means also taking precautions in worldly lives. Two together. Ya'qal wa tawakkal, as the statement goes. Tie your camel and rely on Allah. Or use your brain and rely on Allah. Okay, everyone. Next, they entered and Yusuf alayhi salam saw his brother. Now, it looks like Yusuf alayhi salam had taken his brother somehow. He ordered his viziers and everyone to go, his helpers to go and get... What do you call them, the people who work in the kingdom? What do we call them? They weren't slaves. No. Servants? Let's call them paid. Yeah, they were paid servants. Okay, they were workers. They were employees. Government employees. Huh? Ministers? Yeah, but some of them are cooks and chefs and things like that. So he said he sent his government employees to get his brother Binyamin alone. So they grabbed him, took him inside without his brother seeing it. Now remember, they had separated, right? They weren't all there at the same time. Two were coming before others. He sees his brother, he takes him aside before the rest of his brothers come in to not make it suspicious. Very careful. Takes him inside a room and he says to him, do not be afraid of your brothers anymore. It tells us that he and his brother were suffering from his brothers. They had family abuse, domestic abuse in its highest form. Allah says, Awa ilayhi akha. He brought his brother close to him, which means he hugged him very tightly. Number one, because he missed him tremendously. And number two, he's going to protect him. He says, don't be afraid from your brothers and their plots. I'm Yusuf. You are with me and safe. But we're going to do something. I am going to do a trick. The only way I'm going to keep you here, I'm going to make it look like you stole something from the king. And then it's going to look like you're a thief and leave the rest up to me. He goes, fine. No one else knew about this plot. No one. Only him and his brother. So Binyamin was released immediately, only a few minutes. And his brothers didn't realize. They come to the king. They're all happy. They say, here's our brother. See, we are honest. We're truthful. And so Allah said, and so he prepared them again and gave them a camel load for every person, including Binyamin. And then he himself, Yusuf alayhi salam, had placed the jug. There's a special jar that had ornaments and gold and jewelry on it for the king, the Pharaoh. He placed it in his brother's merchandise, in his baggage, without anyone knowing. Now, the king, he has chefs and cleaners and things like that who come in and out always. Yusuf alayhi salam didn't release the brothers until the Pharaoh's workers realized his famous cup is missing. Now this cup, everybody can see it. It's very expensive, everyone, because it shines. And when they realized the cup of the king was missing, someone called out, أَيَّتُهَا الْعِيرُ إِنَّكُمْ لَسَارِقُونَ. Oh, you, you people who have come here, the brothers, you have stolen. Now, the guy who said you have stolen, he doesn't mean they really have stolen until it's proven. But it was a natural human reaction. Like, who else would have taken it? We're not going to take it. It means you've stolen. It was an accusation, but it wasn't proof. Now, Yusuf alayhi salam didn't say you stole. He just made the situation ready for someone to say you stole. Then they approached him, the brothers, and they said, what are you missing? You see, they didn't say, we haven't stolen, because they didn't steal. So the language changes when you're innocent. You can tell. They said, what are you missing? Meaning, we didn't steal. But remember when they talked to their father? Even if we're truthful, you won't believe us. Remember what they said when they tried to kill Yusuf? Different language. One is guilty, one is innocent. They said, we are missing the suwa', the cup of the king. And our king Yusuf alayhi salam had told us, whoever can find the thief, whoever can find whoever took it, will get an extra camel load of wealth to take with him as a reward. A reward for whoever finds the thief. So they came forward and they said, you know that we are not thieves. And we didn't come to cause havoc. You know that. This is how we came before. And this is now they're speaking correctly. And they are scholars, right? His brothers are actually scholars. They're very knowledgeable people. They're not whatever. But subhanAllah, because they were afraid, they were vulnerable, they were weak, they felt guilt. Putting all that together blinded their eye from the flaw, F-L-O-A-W, the mistake of Yusuf. They couldn't catch him out, so they couldn't think straight. They said, check us. So Yusuf alayhi salam, he said, okay. He himself started looking into their baggage, but he started with their baggage before Binyamin. Why? So as not to make it suspicious. Because they can catch him out. If he had gone to there, he knows that they're just not, they didn't realize it, they could realize it, they could work it out. But Allah says in the Quran, Yusuf would have used a different means, but he couldn't. What was the other means he could have used? Allah says, مَا كَانَ لِيَأْخُذَ أَخَاهُ فِي دِينِ الْمَلِكِ. The king, the pharaoh, had a law of the land, which Yusuf was under, and he had to apply the law. It was an un-Islamic law, but he had to apply it. He couldn't change it yet. Slowly, slowly. Now, the law of the king of the land states that if somebody steals, the punishment, the maximum punishment is death, or he must repay double the value of what he stole. That was, and this is agreed upon in the Bible and the Torah, and Mufassirun have talked about it. Allah says, if he used the law of the land of the king, he can't take his brother. He will either have to kill him or just make him pay double. What did Yusuf alayhi salam want? He wanted to keep him. Why does he want to keep him? Two reasons. Save him from his brothers. And biggest reason, get his family here. If his father knows where he is, he'll come. Allah says, إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Except what Allah willed. If Allah had willed, he would have made for him another way. But because Allah did not make for him another way, he had no other option but to use what you might think is a manipulative tactic. Now I want to make a comment on this. Manipulation is haram. It's a major sin in Islam to manipulate someone. But there is one case where you can use a form of trickery, and it is noble and you are rewarded for it and Allah loves it. What is that trickery? When? Number one, the trickery is not going to harm anybody or take their rights. That's the first condition. Before you can trick someone, number one, it can't harm anyone or take their rights. Number two, it cannot be something that is haram. Like the means, the end, what you're trying to get out of it is haram. Like you're tricking someone to get something haram. Or what you're doing is haram even if the end is good. Now, like for example, if I steal to give to the poor, ends don't justify the means, and the means don't justify the ends. If I go, for example, and borrow interest money from the bank to build a masjid, Allah doesn't accept that. You can do it to build the car park or offices, but not the masjid itself. If I want to lie in order for someone to get away with a drug deal, that's haram. Right? Even if I have good intentions, a good means, but the end result is haram, not allowed. I want to help my mate. I'll take him down to the pub so he can drink. It's nice to help your mate, but haram what you're doing, where you're taking him to. So we don't do that. But what Yusuf was doing was, the third condition is, he can trick. If what's going to come out of it is noble and more beneficial than the current state you're in, and it's better for everybody. What Yusuf a.s. wanted to do was do a trick that doesn't harm anyone and has a noble end. And there was no other means for him to do it. What was it? To bring his family. What was he afraid of? His brothers stealing, killing, and doing everything because they cannot be trusted. So he did that trickery. Therefore, you're allowed to trick if you don't harm someone, and the cause, the reason for it, is noble and important to do, and will take someone out of hardship into ease. Okay? Out of hardship into ease, or out of something bad into something better. You want to save someone's life, for example. You can use trickery. You want to get someone out of an oppression, you can do trickery. Right? Somebody's going to be kidnapped, somebody's going to get harmed, and you got to do a bit of trickery to get them out of that problem. Then you can, inshallah. So long as the harm that they're going into, they are innocent of. They're innocent. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, I hope you understood that. Trickery is only when you are not going to harm anyone, and when the cause is noble and good and will take, and it saves a person from a problem when they are innocent. They're not criminal, they're innocent. And a good means is going to come out of it. Now, Yusuf alayhi salam did so, and so what happened? He took the cup out of his brother's baggage. And they immediately, his brothers made the following reply. إِن يَسْرِقْ فَقَدْ سَرَقَ أَخٌ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Well, if our brother, this one, Benjamin, is stolen, well, he's just like his brother, who used to exist before. His brother also stole in the past. Now, the Quran doesn't state why they said that. The Quran just puts it like as if they're accusing their brother. They still had ill feelings towards him. Some ulama, Mufassirun, said what they meant by it is they stole their father's love from them. So they stole, that he stole their right to their father's love, which is, subhanAllah, is just Allahu Akbar, evil. And other ulama say, well, the narration could be true, that when he took his grandfather's idol and hid it from his grandfather, so he doesn't worship it, the guy, he stole his grandfather's idol when he was a little boy. Either way, Yusuf alayhi salam was very hurt by that. Allah says, فَأَسَرَّهَا يُوسُفُ فِي نَفْسِهِ. He kept that in himself. He didn't وَلَمْ يُبْدِهَا لَهُمْ. He didn't tell them. He just held on to it. He bit the bullet. And inside of him, he said something like no one could hear it. He's talking to himself. قَالَ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ شَرٌّ مَكَانًا. Oh no, you are the evil ones. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تَصِفُونَ. Allah knows your plots, and He knows what you're doing. But he said it to himself. So if you think like that about someone and you're in the right, that's okay. When you want to swear at someone, just try to keep it as a thought if you can't help yourself. Okay? You are not, huh? Yeah, it wasn't the right time. So choose the, you can't do things at the wrong time. So then they went back to their father. They said, when they went outside, the oldest brother, he remembered the oath he gave to his father. He says, Wallahi, I will not return to my father. Have you forgotten the oath we gave him? Have you forgotten what you did to your brother Yusuf? Wallahi, lan abrah al-ard. I will not leave this land. I'm going to stay here until either this is solved, until my brother comes back with me, or I die. It also says, I skipped it, that they tried with Yusuf so hard. Please, they said, Inna lahu aban shay, ayyuha al-aziz. They says, ayyuha al-aziz, oh, your excellency, oh, excellency, he has an old, withered father who is ill. Please take one of us in his place. Take one of us in his place. Please. Inna naraka min al-muhsinin. We can see that you are among the best people. You are a good doer. Subhanallah. They are already giving merit to the man they hated. Allahu Akbar. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the truth come on the tongue of the guilty. You are among the good doers. The same brother they were tried to kill and say he's a bad person. And they just called him a thief. We see, you know. And Yusuf asks him, obviously Yusuf has a plan. He refused. And he says, no. Oh, glory be to God. I will never. May Allah protect me from ever doing wrong to anyone. I will only take whoever stole. Now you might be asking, how did he take his brother if he didn't use the law of the land? Well, he said beforehand, I actually skipped this part. He said, tell me, if you say you didn't steal, what is the punishment if I find that one of you has stolen? And they immediately said, the punishment is that you take him, you own him. جَزَاءُ مَا وُجْدَ فِي رَحْلِهِ. Whoever you find the cup in their baggage, فَهُوَ جَزَاءُ. Whoa, that person who stole will be the reimbursement. You'll have to take him. That was the law of Palestine, of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. That was the law of the Israelites, the Islamic law at that time. And Yaqub, of course, when I say Ibrahim alayhi salam, it means all of them, the prophets Yaqub and Ishaq and Yusuf. Now Yusuf alayhi salam, he didn't lie. He made them say what the punishment is. And so now he's free. No one can hold it against him. He says, all right, I will take him according to the law that you said. And Allah says that he, كَذَلِكَ كِدْنَا لِيُوسُفِ. It was us who were helping him. Allah was helping Yusuf alayhi salam to blind them from finding, this is from being suspicious. They could have said, oh, hold on, no. What do you guys do here? And because they were afraid, said, you take him as we know. And so he took his brother. Outside they realized that they've stuffed up big time. So the rest of the brothers went back. And he said to them, they said, what are we going to say to our father Yaqub? And their big brother says, tell them the truth. Tell him that this is what happened. And that's what happened. And you can ask the people of the land. And this is what happened. And your son really did steal. What do we do? And this is not our fault. And we were almost going to be arrested. And so they go, you think it'll work? He says, well, I'm not leaving here until my brother's back with me or I'll die. So the rest of the brothers went back to Palestine. As soon as they reached their father, he realized what had happened. And they tried to tell him everything. But he didn't believe him. He said, قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. Oh no, again, your nafs has commanded you something evil. Just like you did to your other brother. And Allah will assist me in your plots. And Allah says, وَتَوَلَّى عَنْهُمْ. And he turned away from them. وَقَالَ يَا أَسَفَى عَلَى يُوسُفَ. And he said, oh, my sorrow for Yusuf. He's not talking to them, he's talking to himself. You know, somebody's really full of grief, he talks to himself. Oh, Yusuf, sorrow on Yusuf. So you can imagine he's crying, he's gone. وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ. He was so sad that his eyes turned white. And he became blind from sadness. Man, it's been like, what, 20 years he hasn't seen his son? And now this, he's been upset all this time. Sadness turned him blind. فَهُوَ قَظِيمٌ. And he tried to hold himself. and fight that feeling as much as he can. Now, because he always complains to Allah, his sons have no idea what he's going through. So they go to him, Allah, you still remember Yusuf? Aren't you over it? You're going to keep remembering it until it either kills you or you get a terrible sickness as a result. SubhanAllah, even their words were so harsh. They don't realize because they were insensitive. And he said, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. I'm not complaining to you. Leave me alone. I'm not complaining. I don't want you. I don't need your sympathy. I don't need you to tell me anything. I'm not asking you. Go away from me. I am complaining to Allah. And that's it. And I know from Allah that which you do not know. Although he was sad, he still knew something. This is peculiar. So he said, I know something you don't know from Allah. So he, when he got over it a little bit, he was still blind. He comes up to them and he says, Ya Bani, my sons, go back and investigate. Ask about Yusuf and his brother. For the first time now, he mentions Yusuf to investigate and find him. Why? He's a prophet. He knows this all doesn't make sense. But still, he's grieved. It's too hard for him as a father. Again, sometimes you feel grief. You go through hardship and someone comes and tells you, your iman is low. You're going through this depression because your iman is low. No, not necessarily. Yusuf, Yaqub al-Islam went blind from sadness. Do we say his iman is low? It's a natural reaction. The person's iman is low when they start blaming Allah. They start abandoning their prayers. They start forgetting about their deen. They start blaming everyone and everything and hating. This is haram. This is the low iman. And usually that person is like that all their life. But when you are sad and you still have Allah, then that's okay. So they went back and they asked around until they reached Yusuf alayhi salam. And they said to him, Oh Master, Oh His Excellency, Massana wa ahlan al-dur, harm has come to us and our families. Wajitna bi bida'atin muzjat, we have come to you with cheap merchandise. Look at us, we are at the brink of destruction. Fa'ufi lana al-kayl, please give us a camel load of food. وَتَصَدَّقْ عَلَيْنَا, just be charitable to us. We're begging now. They came back to Yusuf alayhi salam begging in the lowest form. Yusuf alayhi salam, full of integrity, iman, value, character, prophet of Allah, he is not like them. At this point, any one of us would have stepped on their neck and said, suffer you this and suffer you beeps and every word under the sun. We would have said all these things. Now you can suffer what you did for me. You would have said all of this stuff. But instead, Yusuf alayhi salam could not handle their grief. Even while seeing the same people try to kill him, he couldn't handle it. He loves them still. And he says, do you know what you did to Yusuf? They looked up at him and said, أَإِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ يُوسُفُ. Wallah, you are Yusuf. Now it all makes sense. And he just couldn't hold it. He says, قَالَ أَنَا يُوسُفُ. Yes, I am Yusuf. وَهَذَا أَخِي. And this is my brother, Binyamin. قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. Allah has blessed us. SubhanAllah, you will not find one single blame on his brothers. Not one. But instead, he keeps mentioning Allah. He looked after us. He blessed us. SubhanAllah. His brothers are learning now. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرُ. Now he gives him da'wah. He says, whoever fears Allah and his patience, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah does not lose the reward of those who are good doers. And then they said to him, وَاللَّهِ Allah has made you above us, Ya Yusuf. لَقَدْ أَثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَإِنْ كُنَّا لَخَاطِئِينَ. And we are the mistaken ones. Forgive us. Forgive us, our brother. And Yusuf immediately says, قَالَ لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمَ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Oh, beautiful words. Yusuf says to them, no harm upon you. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. No harm upon you. Don't worry. Today, Allah will forgive you. And He is the most merciful. Idhabu bi qamisi. Now let's stop talking about it. Take my shirt and take it to my father. Throw it on his face and he'll be able to see again. And bring me my parents and all your families here. Why does Allah give us the Prophet as examples? So we can live up to them as role models. That's the highest virtue. They immediately went. As soon as they left Egypt, they hadn't even arrived in Palestine. Allah tells us that Yaqub, I'm almost done, brothers and sisters, and He says that Yaqub alayhi salam, he smelt the scent of his son Yusuf from like kilometers and kilometers away. Because Allah says, as soon as they stepped out, Yaqub smelt the scent. And this is the divine thing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also tells us that there's something about parents and their children. There's some intuition. There's something that connects them. Especially the mother. So the father, Yaqub, as it says, I can smell it. As soon as they arrived to him, he repeated it again. I can smell Yusuf's scent unless you're tricking me. And they said, you're still in your old habits, dad. Oh my God. How long does jealousy need to get out of? How long does evil need to get out of a person's heart? They still had to say something. But obviously Yaqub didn't pay attention. And then one of them came and threw it onto his face. Immediately he could see. See, you know, they tell us about medicine today that half the cure is happiness, smiling, laughter, bringing good news. And as Prophet ﷺ said, when you visit the sick, only talk good things. Like even when he visited the sick, you know how we say, may Allah cure you, and then we go, inshallah. May Allah cure you, inshallah. Actually, you shouldn't say inshallah. Rasulullah ﷺ said, when you visited the sick, la ba'as tahur. That's it. No harm. It is a purification. And didn't add the word inshallah. Because it gives the person hope that it is a purification. There's no doubt about it. Obviously, if Allah wills, we don't need to say it because it's a confirmation. Allah already said it. Now, Rasulullah ﷺ used to bring happiness. He used to say, don't stay too long when the sick person to irritate them and be a helper and a supporter, especially for their well-being, more than if you can't help them physically. Well-being is a big cure. And so they gathered their family, and gathered Yaqub alayhi salam and Yusuf's stepmother, and they brought them. But Allah called them abaway, meaning they're the ones who care for him. They entered, and Allah says, as soon as his father, his parents, and his brothers entered, Yusuf alayhi salam came down off his throne, grabbed his parents' hand, took them up to the throne. I'm sorry, I said stepmother, it's actually his real mother. And he took them up, according to the correct narration, put them up onto his throne, and Allah says they involuntarily bowed to him. وَخَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا. Now, sujood in Islam means to put your head on the ground. But before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before Islam, or yani when I say Islam, before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the word sujood didn't mean that. It meant to bow your head. So they didn't actually do the sajda on the floor. They bowed as the custom of Egypt was towards the kings. Right? They just nodded their head or they bowed to the king, and that was allowed at that time. And then Yusuf alayhi salam says to him, to his father, Ya abati, dad. This is the interpretation of my dream. Remember the one I told you when I was a kid? The sun and the moon, the planets bowing to me. And so they all bowed to Yusuf. And such was the case. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, beautiful verses in the end. He says, and this is how we honored Yusuf. And we brought out goodness out of hardship. And we rewarded those who were good doers and are God-fearing. Yusuf alayhi salam said his last words. You want to know what he said? He said to his father, oh father, look at what Allah has given us. He took us out of the deserts into this built up land, and from poverty into richness, and from hardship into ease. And then he started to thank Allah. Thank Allah. Thank Allah. Oh Allah, you have blessed me. Oh Allah, you have honored me. Oh Allah, you have given me. And he, by the way, he never stopped saying that. But all thanks is to Allah in the beginning and the end. And in the end, Yusuf alayhi salam says the following words. Rabbi, my Lord, tawaffani musliman. All I want from you now, let me die as a Muslim. So long as I die, I still believe in you. Wow. Tawaffani musliman. And this is even more amazing what he said after that. Wa alhiqni bis salihin. And join me with the righteous. Join me with the righteous. The messenger of Allah, Yusuf alayhi salam, is there anyone more righteous than him and his father? Join me with the righteous. Let me just be among them wherever they are. Just let me follow them, please. Like even in the back rows. Aren't you worthy enough to be in the front rows there, Yusuf? Ya Rabbi, alhiqni bis salihin. And this is how we speak to Allah. Absolute humbleness and tawadu. Allah says, فَلَا تُزَكُّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Never praise yourselves of iman. هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. He is the one who knows who truly is God-fearing. And that's the example of Yusuf. Even as he's asking Allah, he's not saying, Oh Lord, I know I am righteous and I have been patient. I know I deserve paradise. No. Oh Allah, let me die as a Muslim because I don't know what's going to happen to me tomorrow. And make me be among the righteous. That's how we are. مَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَ. Prophet said, whoever humbles themselves for the sake of Allah, Allah will lift them. And so, my brothers and sisters, the story of Yusuf alayhi salam ends here. And Allah gives one page of lessons. But since we've spoken for a long time, I'm sure you're tired, your back's breaking, I'm sitting on a chair, my back is broken. So, I have to have mercy on you. We will talk about that last page of lessons next week, inshallah ta'ala. And then we will go into the story of the next prophet, Dhul-Gifn, followed by the next prophet to come. I'll keep it a secret. Inshallah, next week we'll talk about it. Thank you for listening. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.